Prime Time replay from Money FM 89.3.
It's news that's almost breaking the internet. Facebook launching a new digital coin called Libra that will allow users to buy and send money with nearly zero fees. People wondering online, posting all sorts of conspiracy theories. Are we moving towards one world with one currency given Facebook's dominance over the internet? Well, we know that Libra has gathered around 28 founding members. This in the Libra Association. And this includes companies like Visa, MasterCard, Spotify, Uber, even eBay. It's an ambitious project. Some say this can disrupt the traditional banking sector as we know it. But will this form of cryptocurrency take off? Joining us now is Rohit Murthy. He is founder and country manager of SingSaver. Welcome back, Rohit. So why is Facebook creating Libra? Some say this is not pure cryptocurrency. First up, give us the reasons why it's doing this.
Well, they have a mission statement, and the mission statement says that, you know, a simple global currency and infrastructure that empowers billions of people. Now, that is a powerful mission statement.
Indeed.
What they're talking about is financial inclusion. They're probably talking about markets where people don't have a bank account, and how do they empower those people? How do they get more people into the financial, you know, industry and to the financial services? It's a massive power state mission statement to have, but then, you know, there's probably also an underlying reason why they're getting into the space, because Facebook's core revenue model is advertising. And you know, this just, they've been in the news for the wrong reasons. It's a free service. Give us your data. We will target you with advertising. And, you know, the recent scandals have not really necessarily worked well. So this is also a great pivot for them. And also obviously a huge bet that they're also taking, where they now are essentially trying to become a massive financial, probably, services provider, and, you know, a big e-commerce player, because with a currency like that, with a global digital currency, people can essentially start buying things.
Mm-hmm. Maybe for the benefit of our listeners, you can tell us, walk us through, how do you think Libra work?
Okay, to try and put it as simple as possible, it's a cryptocurrency. So, you know, we've heard of Bitcoin and we've heard of Ethereum. So it is also a cryptocurrency, but there are certain differences, and I can come to that a bit later. But essentially, you buy this cryptocurrency and you can send money either, you know, using your bank account or use a debit card. You buy the Libra coins, and then you start using the Libra wallets. Now, Facebook has its own Calibra, but then they also have, you know, mentioned that, you know, other wallets can build on this technology, and you start sending money to each other. Now, this could be a platform like WhatsApp. So if I need to send you money, I can send you Libra coins.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the important thing here to note is the entire Libra coin is it's also pegged to fiat currency. So it's pegged to your US dollars and, you know, euros and so on. So if you want to cash out, depending on what that FX rate is then, you can also cash the money and send it back to, you know, your bank account. So in that sense, essentially, they're providing a digital currency for you to be able to send money to each other easily. And of course, and also hopefully buy things a lot easily using that digital currency.
Well, this could really disrupt the payments industry as we know it. But first, let's come to this club, the 28 founding members of the Libra Association.
Yep.
They paid at least $10 million each to become members. Why are they so eager to join, and how is this going to benefit them?
The mission statement is massive, right? I mean, they're talking about actually going after the emerging markets. And each of these players, they have their own sort of, you know, interest in those markets. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, these founding members, because Facebook does claim that they're planning to, you know, recruit, and they want to have about 100 members. So these are, you know, founding sort of initial sort of members, we've heard. Interestingly, there's no bank yet in that, and there's no other big tech company like Apple and Google. But, you know, they say they're open for these players to join. So I think this is the mission statement is still something to keep an eye on. But then, as is how these, how Facebook and the other sort of founding members are going to make money is essentially every time you buy the Libra coin, you're actually, you know, it's being backed by a dollar or euro, and that's sort of a reserve currency that sits, and they make interest out of that reserve currency that sits there. And now when you talk about suddenly being able to bring billions of people onto the platform, then it starts looking very interesting. Of course, as much as this is a Facebook project, it is not I mean, it is also being now sort of, you know, positioned as a Libra association, a non-profit association, where you have a mix of payment companies, where you have tech companies, where you have non-profit organizations. So it's also keeping in mind that their mission is around financial inclusion and actually empowering billions of users in emerging markets. So the association with these founding members will also suddenly give them access to things like onboarding merchants, because if you have Visa and MasterCard, then you can suddenly have more merchants actually accepting Libra coins, given those relationships that some of these payment companies have. So I think in that sense, I'm sure there's a lot of value they're bringing in, other than the fact that because this is cryptocurrency, this is a decentralized governance, meaning it's not Facebook that owns, you know, single-handedly the entire cryptocurrency. You have 27 sort of members right now, 28 members.
Sort of like investment governing. Members in this club.
I mean, they
right?
have invested yeah. because there are some requirements in order to become a you know, member. So, but at the way that the blockchain technology, at least that they've designed it, is that these are the members that are actually governing in a very decentralized way.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the past couple of months, there've been lots of hype and news around cryptocurrencies, like as you mentioned, mm-hmm. Bitcoin. How are a bit different from these cryptocurrencies?
I think technically there are some differences, but I think a couple of big sort of differences is what's the use case, right? And here, actually, the fact that it's a stable coin, it's being pegged to your fiat currencies. What we've seen with Bitcoin and to an extent, you know, Ethereum is a lot of volatility. And you've seen price fluctuations going, you know, up and down, and we've heard of ridiculous sort of price fluctuations. Now, this is a stable, so they are providing sort of a stable digital currency. So that is a very important thing to note. The second thing is purely in terms of medium of exchange, the other two have not really scaled up. And also in terms of adoption and awareness, I mean, it's just generally, I mean, people have heard of it, but, you know, how do I put money in? How do I buy it? I mean, it's just the adoption has been quite poor. I believe that now having such a major tech company and all these other founding big giants associated with it, in a way, they have given cryptocurrency some legitimacy. And I think this is probably the best way cryptocurrency can actually go mainstream. Now, still a lot of work to be done. It's still a white paper. There's a lot. I mean, they're still launching it. Public launch is only, you know, next year. But I think to an extent, now cryptocurrency can essentially become a mainstream currency.
Okay, picking up on that point on going mainstream, some say the biggest beneficiaries are going to be the unbanked. And here in Southeast Asia, this matters. What does this mean for the unbanked, and what other challenges do you foresee for Libra?
I mean, just at least the last statistic that came out was about 1.7 billion unbanked people, meaning these people don't have a bank account. Now, I think when I look at their mission statement, firstly, they're now saying that they're going to provide essentially a global, you know, and a digital sort of account, you know, to these people. Because typically, what are the challenges people have, the unbanked people have? Mm. One is poor education. Now, how is Facebook going to address that? They've not really talked about it. And I think that will be a big challenge. How do you actually educate people of why they need banking and why they need an account and why, you know, they need to actually, you know, use financial products and services? They've not addressed that, but I'm sure that some thought process is going to go on to that. The other aspect is around certain payments and services where a lot of these people are hit with a lot of charges and fees. Now, take the remittance market, for example. Now, this is where when you typically see the unbanked sort of population, a lot of them might be migrant workers, a lot of them are sending money back home. There are services available. I mean, you have Western Union, you have InstaRem. But the matter of fact is, you know, 80% of the remittance services is still offline. Mm. The fees can be as high as 9%. So there's just a lot of hidden charges and fees. Now, what Facebook is saying is if the use case is they're going after remittance market where you can send money to each other with nearly zero fees, then you're suddenly bringing a lot of people into that, you know, ecosystem, but also you're solving for a problem where a lot of these people today, even to send $100, they may be paying fees as high as $30, for example.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we have not talked about this. How do you think Libra will create a revenue stream for Facebook?
I think at this point in time, the interesting point is obviously, I mean, the core part that they've at least shared, but I guess by bringing a lot of merchants in, by bringing a lot of these small merchants into the marketplace, in a way, they can still, you know, have a lot of these merchants, you know, they can still target them with advertising. So as much as Facebook has very clearly stated that they're not, this is the whole data privacy, where they're not going to share, I mean, this data is not going to be shared with Facebook platform and vice versa, I think by just having a lot more of these players into the market, of course, they still have the advertising revenue coming in, while just getting into the financial services industry itself opens up, you know, I mean, you're talking about we just talked about remittances, but, you know, essentially, you know, the next thing they could be doing is, you know, providing micro-lending or, you know, actually providing lending services.
Yes. And earlier on, you touched on the fact that no bank is part of the 28 founding members.
Not yet.
Not yet. I mean, it is expected to launch first half of next year, correct? Yeah. Libra, so a lot of details still to be sorted out. But what impact do you foresee Libra having on traditional financial institutions?
I think still early and still premature. I think we'll still need to wait and watch, you know, how this sort of pans out. The pilot market is India, so that's where they're going. They're starting first. I mean, from what I've read, that's essentially where, you know, you have a lot of unbanked people, the second largest, if I'm not wrong. And then it's also one of the biggest remittance markets. So the use case is there. WhatsApp, you know, it's the platform
exactly.
that Facebook has.
A lot of people use to the mobile phones as it is.
You know, in India, you have a lot of people using WhatsApp. Mm. I think as much as we need to see how the traditional financial institutions, you know, sort of respond to it, I guess the bigger challenge Facebook will have are the regulators and lawmakers. Because let's face it, we are still coming fresh off, you know, certain scandals. So I think they have a lot of lobbying to do. Because in a way, if you are going to be using Libra, whether there's a Libra association and it's non-profit and it's Swiss and it's operated by, it's still let's face it, it's a Facebook project. You're trusting a Facebook brand. So I think we've already seen one of the US lawmakers already, you know, there's some opposition. So I think that will be the bigger challenge of how are they, with this increased, you know, regulator scrutiny, how are they going to go about it? Mm. Because at this point in time, I think it's still a hard sell for them to say that we are going to solve the problem of financial inclusion, empowering billions of users, when you've just come off certain, you know,
privacy
scandals and security breaches and so on. And I think it'll take them quite a bit of lobbying to sort of get over that. But then, you know, obviously having an association and having two billion users, having that platform, having the reach, you know, having, you know, actually now building a really good cryptocurrency, they're sort of really primed. It's a very ambitious project.
Okay, so to quickly sum up our discussion today, how much do you think of a game changer is Libra going to be?
I mean, already the other cryptocurrencies have gone up ever since, you know, this announcement has come. I still believe there's still a lot of work to be done. I think this is a great detour for cryptocurrencies to go mainstream. As I said, the mission statement is extremely ambitious. Very much interested to see how the pilot project goes in a market like India, which is obviously a massive market. So, I mean, it's a very positive, net, it is a positive thing for all of us. I think it'll really boil down to how well they will execute it locally in those markets, because let's face it, Facebook is still, you know, operates out of US. How much are they able to actually operate locally and understand the problem that the, you know, emerging markets have and solve for those problems, similar to what we saw in China with, you know, where we've seen domestic sort of, you know, payment platforms really take off and solve some real problems.
It's still early days yet, but we'll have to keep an eye out on how the crypto world is responding to Libra. That's the next step, I think. Thank you so much for joining us. Rohit Murthy is founder and country manager of Sing Saver. This has been Trending.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.